It's a good morning, it is. Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm so glad y'all showed up. And if you couldn't tell, God was glad you showed up, too. He don't waste his presence. And when his presence comes in, it's to make sure that you're better than when you left. And so we thank God for his presence that dwells here. Okay. Let me get myself together. We're going to take a moment. I could rush it, but why? Whew, we just did some work up in here. I need to take a moment. take a little moment. I told him to change my rag, you know, when you got color in your hair. And because I know your attention span is real short, not short, short. And so if I wiped with a white rag, y'all would have been like, the pink. I said, give me a black one. Because y'all been so distracted. Like, is she bleeding? What is it? So, I know my sheep. We have laughed this morning so tremendously. There's nothing like having joy in the Lord. And we have definitely had that. All right. So let's get into what the Lord has been saying, and I won't be before you long, only as long as he wants me to.
Amen.
Because he wants to say something to his people. I find that he loves us so much, and I can always tell by the way he talks to us and talks about us. So, excuse me, I done hollered a bunch, and so I ain't got the cooties or nothing. Can somebody throw this away? Okay, so when I was thinking the other day, it actually was Wednesday, I was thinking about when the Lord releases a word in the house. And there are times that the enemy can make you think that, that's Pastor Josh. They always talking, you know. And you can actually, he's fine. He's fine. He wants to preach with me, and we're going to let him. Now, if he bothers somebody, y'all scoot to another place. But he's a kid, and he's doing what kids do. Okay? So I don't want you to be frustrated with him. I want you to be able to hear, he's fine. I'm fine. If I can't preach over a child, there's something wrong with me. I expect kids to be kids. I expect adults to be adults, too, but that doesn't always work out the same. Sorry, I went there, didn't I? Y'all know I was going to go there anyway. Let me go ahead. I expect a few things, and Lord Jesus, help us, Father. Anyway, back to what I was saying. You can get so used to hearing someone talk that you disregard it. You disregard the word. You cannot show up because you think that, it's just them. It's just them. So then coming out, it's just like, but you know, every time the Lord is speaking is something for you.
Yes.
So much so that the enemy can have you deceived and say, oh, you don't need it. But if you look in the word, it talks about some of the word fell on good ground. Some fell on stony ground, you know, and then there was the cares of life that came and consumed it. So you can actually discount the word and be going right along with what the enemy wants you to do. Don't pay that no attention. So on Wednesday, Josh talked about God being dependable, right? And so all this week, well, after he spoke about that, the enemy kept whispering, like, what are you going to do and how are you going to do it? And I kept going back to the word, God is dependable. It was exactly, but if I let the enemy, if I let being tired on Wednesday, if I let being tired on Sundays get me, then I would have ignored it, and then I would have been perplexed in my mind. And when God said, I sent you the word, I sent it to you. But if you think it's, I got things to do, so I'm not really paying no attention to the word. And God says, but every time you need a word, I've already sent it. But if you ignore it, then when it's time to use it, you'll be worried instead. That was for free. That has nothing to do with the message. But I want to make sure you understand that whenever God is speaking, you better grab a hold of that and stick it in your pocket. Because he's trying to prepare you for what's next. And you'll get to what's next and think that you're ill-equipped for what's next. And he's like, I'm never one that, I didn't create a world and didn't have to figure out what to put in it. I made sure the world was created and everything you needed was there before you got there.
Yes, God. Woo. Yes, God.
So if you take coming to church, reading your Bible, or people teaching in front of you like it ain't nothing, then you'll blame God because you're not prepared for what's happening in your life. The false accusation, like he didn't prepare you. Still for free. Because I don't want us to get so complacent with the word of God. Like, I'd heard that version before. But that version hits differently when you get ready to go through this place.
Yes, God. Amen. That's
yes. True. Yes, God. I just need to give y'all, let me give y'all a little wisdom for right here. That it's like God says, I'll always have you prepared. I will never have you ignorant of the devil's devices. So I'm preparing you when you come to church and when you do Bible study, when you connect with people. But if you count it and dismiss it, then you'll count me as being one that's not faithful. And I ain't never forsake the works of my hands. Okay. So that I want y'all to get back to the place where this is important. That the word is important. That midweek service is important. That what we do is important. Because if not, then you'll, you know, Pastor Josh, Pastor Daisy. Never thinking that God is using us because he cares about you. And he's using other people because he cares about you. So, all right, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Anybody remember that saying? What do y'all equate that to? Like, was it drugs that they said that for? I'm going to tell you where it really originated from in a second.
I think it was the education.
Yep, that was one of them. This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. That was the one with egg. Believe it or not, a mind is a terrible thing to waste came from the United Negro College Fund.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let me go ahead and date myself. So it started with that saying in 1971. They came out with a commercial in 1977, which said, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And it was talking about, sorry guys. I guess I drank some more water. Let me drink some more water. It was talking about education for African Americans. Because at that time, we were not allowed to get education. And it was really based on physicians in biology. And it was like, we can't go any further because we don't have the money or the resources to do it. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. And they were asking for donations, talking about, we don't want a handout, we just want a hand. And so I kept hearing, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And I had to look it up because I really thought it was started out with drugs. Like, just say no. Like, don't do drugs. And it was just like, no. It was about making sure that you didn't waste what God had given you in your mind. So let's recap for just a second. And for whatever reason, God is really concerned about the way you think. He has been dealing with the way you think for the last few Sundays. Remember, you better recognize. And what was the other title? You better recognize. And they were my title. My forgiveness is sufficient. I can't help y'all after that. I'm gone. That was the last one. That was last Sunday. My forgiveness is sufficient. You better recognize in, I don't know.
Can I trust you?
Thank you. I'm so glad somebody took notes. I didn't even pull up my own notes. So he's still talking about the way you think. And so he said, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. Proverbs 23:7 says, For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. We talked about that a little bit, and it says, eat and drink, say he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. And that scripture kept resonating with me. As a man thinketh, and that's Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinketh, so is he. He will say to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. And so I had to do a little bit of digging on that to figure out what that meant. That's not the primary scripture. I'm just kind of talking about it because I want to lay a little bit of foundation. But it was like, he'll say, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. One interpretation said, he'll tell you to eat and drink. Get what you want. Get whatever you want. But he's constantly counting the cost. It's saying literally what your mouth is saying, but what you believe on the inside of you don't match. you ever tell somebody, it's okay, it's all right, it's all right, but on the inside, you're really like, it really ain't all right. So your insides and your mouth aren't matching up. They're not saying the same thing. And it talks about letting your yes be yes, you know, their scripture, your no be no. And so there are a lot of times that we can say, it's okay, I'm good. But really on the inside, it's not the same. And it's like, so as a man thinketh, so is he. And I want to make sure, I told the Lord, I want to make sure that when I tell somebody it's okay, that my inside is matching my mouth. How many of y'all are guilty of that? Oh, I can do it. Yeah, no, it's fine. It's okay that you took 9 hours. It's okay that you took 4 hours. It's okay. Really? Really? It's not okay. But we have been programmed to say, it's okay. What will happen if you actually said what you really meant? Then, Oh, you say conflict? Do you feel bad if you really say how you really feel sometimes? Say, ah. But sometimes we'll say that. So working on making sure what you say out your mouth is really the meditation of your heart. You know, we say, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in our sight, O Lord. You know, I can quote that. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So what I'm saying to you is, like, I want my insides and my outsides. Somebody said my audio and my visual. Make sure my audio and my visual. You ever watch them Chinese pictures where, and he said, and they said, and it's just like, wait a minute. Or where they just don't have it and it's all English, but somehow it got thrown off, and it's the movie's going, and it's just like, somebody need to pause for a second because they said it like 3 minutes ago, but it's just coming out now. And you like, wait a minute, I can't watch a movie like that. Either I have to not look at it and just let it play because I can't watch it and it not. Sometimes that's sometimes how we are as pastors.
Go ahead, you're on the wall.
Your mouth say, yes, I'm glad to be here. Oh, everybody got quiet. Ooh, y'all right? Ooh, everybody got quiet. Yes. Everybody was like, shh.
It's the truth.
I'm so glad to be here, and I'm going to serve, and I'm going to do, and then your audio and your visual are not lining up. I was saying this to Victory. I'm still giving y'all free stuff. I promise you my message ain't that long. I was saying to Victory, I said, because my love language is acts of service, when you act differently than what you say to me, I don't feel like I'm loved.
That's good, girl. Help us understand.
So because my love language is acts of service, it's like if your actions are different than what you say they're going to be, I don't feel like you love me. So if my love language is words of affirmation and you go quiet, how am I gonna feel loved if Terry's love language is words of affirmation and you don't say anything? How does he feel loved if you don't? And that's how. Oh, that was great to say. Thank you, Jesus. He's still a catcher, not a keeper. He's a catcher. But like, if my love language is quality time, but you always too busy, how do I feel loved? This ain't nowhere in my message. How about it?
We needed it.
How? Because what you're saying and what you're doing isn't matching up. So if you say that you love and you appreciate, and then you, okay, words... gifts, but you never have no money to buy me anything, how do I feel loved? Your audio and your visual are matching up. And then they want you to be, I love you. Do you? Let me tell you what it looks like when I feel loved. Let me tell you what it looks like when I feel, I can tell you, when you jump in and say, because acts of service is mine, but if words of affirmation, if I come and say, if words of affirmation is yours, then I'd be like, Monique, you have done such a great job. And I appreciate you so much for all the things that you have done. Then you can look and be like, they love me because I gave you what you needed. So many times we want to do it the way we want to do it, not really knowing what. So when God says, I need something from you, this is how you show me that you love me. And you say, God, I love you, but you do it absolutely different than what he wants from you. How does he feel loved? A mind is a terrible thing to waste. When your audio and your visual don't line up, it's hard. It's challenging. And so, thank you. Y'all getting anything yet? Right, yeah, I don't think I'm gonna get here. It don't seem like we're going that way, and I'm okay with it. I'm okay with, because I keep looking at it and it's like, yep. and over here. it's hard to build when your insides and your outsides aren't lining up. It's hard to see and to understand when you keep saying one thing with your mouth. He says, you say these words with your mouth, but your heart is far. Far from me. Far. Your heart. I can't judge your heart, but I can judge your actions. I can judge what you say. And you know, you ever felt like they said all this stuff and they were lying? They were lying. That's why, let me tell you one thing I have to do real here. Don't say, Pastor, I ain't never going nowhere. I'm going to look towards the hills from which cometh my help. Do you know how many people say they ain't never going nowhere? They're going to take me out here in handcuffs and all the things. It is not flattering. Because people say it in a moment where the spirit is feeling good and they like, look, I'm making my declaration. I ain't going nowhere. And we'd be like, have you seen her? Tell me, have you seen her? Seen her? Ooh. Okay. Y'all just had to work with me. He got me off my game, so I'm going wherever he goes. But it's like I'm wanting what you say to match up with what you do. It's a struggle for me as God to look at you and say, now they done said all that. Oh, shucks, we done went down to two. I'm just, yeah, they know what I'm talking about. Oh, it's okay to laugh in church, y'all. Relax. It's still the Lord. It's still him talking. He says, but every time you look around, what I say, I do. What I say I'm going to give, I give. What I say I'm going to protect you from, I protect you from. My audio and my visual do line up. I prepared a place for you. Guess what? I'm going to come back and get you, too. He says, everything I say, I do. And you're supposed to look like me. You're supposed to sound like me. You're supposed to respond. What is it that makes us say the things that we think people want to hear versus what's really going on? Oh, that's called people pleasing, ain't it? Mm-hmm. Oh. You know, people pleasing is a real thing. And we talked about in intercessors about being, having one audience, like God being your only audience. But one of the things about people pleasing, it means if you please people, you most of the time aren't going to please God. Because people and God don't always have the same. They don't have the same expectations. They don't have the same wants. They don't have the same desires. People pleasers be like, oh, yes. You ever have somebody say yes before you get the whole question out? be like, well, can I finish? Are you sure? Do you even count the cost before you make a yes? Oh. I can do it. Do you ever stop and say, okay, now I hear what you're asking me. What is the requirement for that? So like if we come around here and say, okay, we want to make you a leader in this place. Oh, I'd be honored. That would just be a blessing. Do you know what that's going to require? You haven't even asked. Haven't asked at all. You just, I can do it. How you know? And then when they lay out the job description, you're like, no, I
need a drink, too.
And then they have the fine print and all other things. So y'all ain't never read the full description. I think Kelly probably reads the full one and all the benefits. And it says, and everything else that's assigned to you that we need you to do. So if they tell you to go clean the bathroom, well, wait a minute. I'm the executive of the such and such. Oh, you didn't read that.
Well,
that's
a bathroom cleaner.
You are, today you're a bathroom cleaner. Scrub-a-dub-dub. But you didn't read the fine print. And so there are times that the Lord is asking things, and I want to stay a part of, I want to stay on that place of people-pleasing and perfectionism, because that was something that really stuck out. And so we're not going to get into that. I'll come back to the rest of this. But this is the place that I really think that we should land today. And it is in Matthew 26, 39 and 42. Because I think this is where, Lord, you're so good. This is where he wants us to stop at. It says, and this is Jesus going to the garden. He says, going a little further, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And the King James Version says, let me put these right here on, because I couldn't see nothing back there. That was blurry. Go to 42. Did you have 40? Okay. Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, my Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done. At this point in time, and I think this is where a lot of people struggle, myself included, is Jesus was saying, I don't want to be in tune with the humanness of people. Okay, I'm going to break it for you. He only knew perfection. He did not want to know the poverty of you and I, the humanness, the humanity. He was like, I seen it. I don't want to be associated with it. I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to be in touch with the humanness. Can that pass me by? So people that are people pleasers or perfectionists, you only want to identify with the perfect part of Christ. You don't want to identify with the poverty part of Christ. What does poverty mean? Not having the ability to take care of oneself, or the bankrupt part of you, not having the ability to sustain your own life. You don't wanna, no, ain't nothing wrong with me. Do you know people, it's hard for people to connect with people that are perfect or perfectionists or act like they don't have nothing wrong with them? Because you have stayed on the place of being, there is no human side of me. Everything about me is right. Everything I do is well. Everything I say is good. I dress well. I do this well. I do all of that. And so it's hard for people because they're like, well, wait a minute. My humanity shows up all the time. I ain't got this right. I ain't got that right. I ain't got that right. But somebody that stands and says, no, I got it. I'm a great prayer. I'm a great preacher. I pray 3 times a day, and And it's hard because when you like that as a perfectionist, people looking at you and saying, I can't relate to you. I'm raggedy. So if I tell you my stuff, you're going to look at me like, wow, you got some problems. Something wrong with you. But it's a matter of you don't want to be in touch with the human side. You want to be in touch with the fact that, guess what, I mess up. So instead, I'll come in here That's why when people say, y'all got problems? You had bad days? You mean to tell me you want to cuss people out? And I'd be like, now what kind of facade have I led? Did I really make you believe that? It wasn't on purpose. Trust me, I'm very in touch with my human side, and my human side shows up. Call me in the car.
Oh my God.
Call me and say, ooh, she real human. Huh. Wow. Ooh, we extensive. And I got a V8 too. Don't ride with me. I'll be trying my best to be nice when people are in the car with me. Jesus. I try. I be like, Daisy, you got people in the car. You can't ride them like that. Don't ride them like that. Don't talk too crazy to that old lady like that. So it's a work not to be real human and people that can't hang, because they'll put you on a pedestal and say, oh, there's no way. You don't ever get mad. Do you have a bad day? Would you prefer me coming in and showing you? You sure? Would you lose respect for me if I showed you that I was human? That's a church problem. That's a church problem. You want to know why pastors committing suicide and stuff like that? Because they can't never walk in and say that I'm having a bad day, because everybody expects them to be in a certain space. That's a church problem. That's a church problem. That if we can't, oh my God, you come into the hospital and I can't believe you got that. What hospital says that? What hospital says, I can't believe you infected? What are we going to do? You infect. But no, you come into church and you can't dare say that you infected with anything. You better come in and act like everything is fine, because that's the only thing I respect. I don't respect your humanity, although I'm human and you better respect mine. Y'all can be human, but the leaders can't be human. I expect you to have it all together. How can you struggle with that? And so then it makes everybody come in and put on a facade. Like you ain't one of us, Terry, in the head this morning. You better come here, act like you wanted to hit him. Or you ain't want to choke your child out. Or you did choke him out. Yeah. We've had it a couple times where it's just like, oh, I at times want to choke your child out. And in the early days of ministry, we did. And did. We got witnesses.
Survivors.
Yeah. True story, survivors. They survived the first years of our ministry. Oh, I finally had to tell Portia, you can't keep beating on these people's children. Said they swung at me first. Wait. Oh, I wish we were lying. We are so not lying. About the humanity, I wonder if we let everybody off the hook of being perfect, how would the church be? When they say, we don't serve your kind here. When they say, that type of brokenness we can't handle. I don't want to be a church that's full of pretenders. Now, wait. Because you can't always be the one in need. Let me put a pause here, because sometimes somebody can come in and there's always something wrong with them. Don't nobody else get a chance to lay on the table because there's something always wrong with you. No. Balance it out. Look, seasons change for everybody. Everybody doesn't have the same season always. So it's not going to be bad in your life all the time. Right. There are going to be times that it shifts and it's somebody else's turn to go through the storm and for you to hold the umbrella.
Yes, God. Yes.
So it can't be that, man, for 14 years you've been singing that song. My God. Somebody lying. Either the Lord is or you are. Oh, well. And on that, I'm going to drink some water. If we could actually have everything line up, if we could actually be honest, I wonder what would happen if we came in. And if you can't be honest with nobody else, can you at least be honest with God? Because we'll pretend not only with each other, but we'll pretend with God. We'll give him all the accolades and never tell him, I am destroyed, I am messed up. Lord, I messed that one up. I blew that one up royally. Or come in and say, guess what? I'm struggling. Now I got to pretend. Put your face on. Act like everything is okay. You know, last Sunday when we were giving out money, nobody would have known those people didn't have money. Nobody would have known. Until from up here, we asked. Because they weren't going, do they have permission to come around and say, guess what? I don't have no money. I don't know how I'm gonna put gas in my car. Or would they have walked out the door and not said a word? I wonder how many times we've came in and the Lord did great things in front. He did, but there was still something natural that you needed, but you walked out the door and didn't say anything. And sat in your house and struggled. And like, I'm not even gonna tell nobody. We ain't got no money, we ain't got no food, and they can return my gas off and my lights up. I'm not gonna say anything, I'm just gonna go home. Now you know, our cheese slides all the way off our cracker if we find out that anybody in this church is sitting in the dark with no food and no gas. You're gonna get in trouble first. We're gonna love you into submission. Yes. We might bully you first, though. Anybody ever experienced bullying from us? We just hear, whoo, ain't nobody saying much. Because when we say, if we got it, you got it. You say it was humbling? You look, oh, now everybody popping up. Yep, I have, and I have too. Y'all can't see it out there. I don't know what they're talking about. We're so nice. But what we don't want is for people to be in here struggling and never say anything. I don't think we're that suchy much that we can't be, you know, talked to, or you can't come up and say, hey, this is where I'm at, and this is what's going on, and I need you to pray, and we'll pray, but if there's a physical or tangible thing that we can do, we'd like to do that too. I wonder why it is that we have to force people into being receivers. Why do we have to force people into receiving love, receiving gifts? Do we have a church full of givers and not receivers? I don't know. That's what I'm telling you, Vaughn. She said, we were so shocked because we used to be the ones that give. And so all of a sudden, it changes. Like, you get to be on the receiving end. People love to be cheerful givers, but everybody's not a cheerful receiver. I give you credit, Josiah. Josiah said, I'm a cheerful receiver. Give it to me and watch me. He said, give it to me and watch me. I'm going to take it and be happy about it. He going to be like, no, that's okay. Do we struggle with receiving? Why? Why do you struggle with receiving? So that means if you struggle with receiving, did you struggle with receiving Christ too? Oh, I should have stuck to my notes, huh? I'm Tabo with it. I got you. I told you I still got it. I know how to throw that foot out there. So you struggle with saying that you need him too? Don't you know that your life is really bankrupt without him?
Yes, God. Amen.
Like, you don't have what it takes to sustain your life without Christ. You don't have it. That's why I'm trying to get everybody used to coming to the altar. All of us come in here saying, God, I need you today. People, no, I'm not going to the altar. That's going to mean that there's something wrong with me. And it is. Oh, what's new? Join the rest of us. Come on in. It's like getting you out of the place of thinking that you don't need help. Perfectionism doesn't have a place here. We're bankrupt. We don't have what it takes to sustain life without Christ. And that's every day. You're bankrupt every day. You're in poverty every day that you don't have him. Every day. Every day. It's not that I get saved one time and then that's all I need is I got saved that one time. You remember October in 1992? No. He's saving me every day. Yes, God. I'm bankrupt every day. I can't make it without you every day. I can't get out of bed and do the right thing without you every day. Every moment of the day, I need to get on my knees and say, God, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. I don't care what your title is. Every day, you need him.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
Every day. How did we get to the place where we like, oh, no, I'm a minister, so I gotta bankrupt. The moment you feel like I got this, bankrupt. The moment you feel like I don't need this, I can do this by myself, bankrupt. You just sent yourself to bankruptcy. And we hope he's going to recommit. You know, they're 7 and 13. Wonder how I know. 7 and 13. And one of them, you pay back your owings, and the other one, they wiped away. Well, I need him to recommit to some of the things so I can keep paying on them. I need him, okay, I messed up and I walked away. But I realize I'm bankrupt. Can that be the posture of our heart every day that we come? When you come into church and you just sit there like, yep, there go the praise team. Mm-hmm, now pastor's going to get up. I can time it. You forgot who God was.
Yes.
You forgot that he was the Almighty. You forgot that at any time if he lifts his hand just a little. Yeah, y'all ever seen God lift his hand just a little? Or just turn? Do you know what you do to yourself when he does that? Just destruction. And that's just a little. I need him to think about me. I need him to have his hand on top of me. I need him to sing over me. I need him to ride with me in the car. I need him to get in the shower with me and make sure that I wash all my parts. See, okay, now y'all say. Y'all like, now that's too far. Well, he made all these parts.
He did.
And I'm wondering what he was thinking. Okay. Because some of these parts are falling down. London bridges falling down. What were you thinking, Lord? Did you know the warranty that was on these? We can move this. The warranties aren't good. Are you still going to honor this? Watch out for my water. But can we get back to the place where we are humbly submitted and saying that we all are bankrupt? And that we all need him? And nobody really has a title when they come in here, not even us, the pastors. He's back at organizing the room. Sorry, y'all. I do squirrel too. That's where y'all get it from. The baby was back there in the storage room. So he's back at organizing, trying to get everything together for us. See, that's where y'all get it from. Y'all, all of us are just touched. But honestly, can we get to the place where nobody can tell who is who? You think about it. They had to kiss Jesus for them to know who Jesus was. Because he blended so well with all the people. Can we get to the place where don't nobody know who is a minister? Because we all look the same. Our desperation for the Lord looks the same. Can we get to the place where can't nobody tell who really is the praise and worship team because all of us are praising and worshiping and dancing? Can we get to the place where everybody is helping and everybody is grateful and everybody has a desire to please? Look, can we get? I think that's the church he's coming back for.
Yes, God.
I think that's the one he's coming for. Not the one who everybody has on their clergy collar. And ain't nothing wrong with clergy collars and all the rest of that. But if you ain't humble, he says, I resist the proud. I resist the people that feel like I don't need you. Or you better submit to my title. Or you better honor me. You better. He says, I resist those people. But I come close to those that are humble. Anybody else in here bankrupt without the Lord? Come on, everyone standing. Everybody make your way to the altar. We're going to get used to being here. We're going to get used to being right here saying, God, I don't know how to do this without you. Come on, y'all can come a little closer. I want to make sure everybody in here. God, I need you. Everything about me needs you. I'm bankrupt. Come on, you begin to talk to God. God, I'm bankrupt without you. I've tried to do it myself. You can turn the music up.